like living with a six-year-old.
I still go on play dates. I just call them play dates so I can go out with Eric and Paul and Adam.
You sound like his mom. He likes sport too. You guys would be such good friends.
I'll do all the technical aspects. Adam will be the face. Paul will be the muscle. And then Eric will be the sales guy.
We're screwed from the muscle.
Paul will be the muscle and the troubadour.
I handed a jar to my son to open the other day, so we're in bad shape.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Four Fathers Podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and other F words.
Ready?
Hello. Welcome to the Four Fathers Podcast.
I'm Paul.
Hi. I'm Fife.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Eric, and this is a podcast about faith, fatherhood, friendship, and other F-words, like fantastic results. Today, we are talking about parenting successes. In our last episode, we talked about helping our kids launch and the value of that. But, you know, it's great to, like, be looking towards that long term, but it's also good to celebrate the little things that we see, the victories in our kids' lives as they're growing up. Because I think so often it's easy to get wrapped around the things that we did bad or they did bad or whatever. And so we wanted to do an episode that talked about the successes of our kids and or the successes of our parenting as seen through the behavior of our kids, right? So we're going to spend the evening, this session, talking about those things in our lives. So, guys, I just want to open it up. Why don't you guys give me an example of something that you were really proud of that your kids did, or something that showed that they finally got it, you know, whatever that is, because it could be either or, right?
Yeah. Or sometimes just one, but yeah. Well, I mean, I've probably shared in the past, and I guess I'll kick it off. The moments, my son's very athletic, and, you know, I've got two kids, so I'll probably have a couple of stories equal for both of them, but the proud moment, you know, I think for my son would primarily be, you know, him reaching, he's very athletic. I was sort of athletic in high school. My brother got all those genes. And so I played a little bit and, you know, I always, you know, grew up as a dad wanting, you know, desires, having a son, and finally got a son, and then having a son who would be a little bit more athletic and, you know, enjoy the sports that, you know, I enjoyed. And long story short was, you know, he had, I remember a very one vivid moment, and I probably shared it on a previous podcast, very proud dad moment, where, you know, we were always trying to teach him, you know, from an athletic standpoint, you know, how to be part of a team and how to be able to encourage and grow and just, you know, get the team rallied for, you know, when they're just down in the dumps and they're losing. And we were at Cooperstown when he was like 12 years old, and I have a video of it. If I remember, I'll put the link in the show notes, but it was the moment where he hit like his grand slam. But like all the stuff leading up to that moment, he was very much, I was watching from, you know, as a parent's side in the, you know, the stands, watching him interact with all the guys. And he was very, like, you know, encouraging and very motivating and very, like, you know, almost like a team cheerleader. And that moment was more proud for me than him hitting the grand slam when, you know, they were down in the middle of the game and, you know, losing in the, yeah, you know, overall, you know, finals. But to see all of that and just, you know, have him see, you know, and rejoice in, you know, the efforts of all of that build up to the point of him doing the grand slam and, you know, being a part of that, and then just continuing, you know, that motivation just really just, you know, made me proud, because it was more like, yeah, he's a great human and, you know, an athlete on top of it, which is, you know, it's not like, you know, where we see a lot of times, you know, got to be a great athlete and, you know, decent human, you know. So, you know, I think I got that moment right, and that was a proud dad moment for sure. And, you know, as my wife would contest, she probably saw me crying quite drastically when that did happen, but, you know, like a little baby. But yeah, that was that sticks out in my mind for my son for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's so funny because, like, you know, sometimes you hear these conversations or you have these conversations with other dads and they're like, I loved it when he lifted the team up and put them on their shoulders, on his shoulders, and carried them to victory, right?
Yep.
But I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm much more about the substance of it, because that other stuff,
it's a fleeting moment.
It's important, but it's a fleeting moment, right? The character stuff sticks around.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So one of the ones, so I did think up one for each of my kids, which means I'm going to go more than all the rest of you guys.
But this is going to be a long episode, folks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it doesn't have to be. But I was thinking about Gracie. And honestly, there's so many places. And we were talking about this. Like, there's so many places that our kids do things that we're proud of, right? As parents, we're not exactly objective. And we get excited when our kids do something really, really cool or whatever. But for Gracie, the one that really impressed me, made me proud of who she was and who she was becoming, was a couple years ago. She had her eye, she didn't really know what she wanted to do for college, and so she was working on a gap year program, and she had one in mind that she thought she was sure to get into. And so she applied, and it was really the only plan she had. She kind of felt like it was what God was telling her to do, and she applied, and they rejected her. And it was hard, man. It was hard for like a couple of days. She kind of grieved it and thought about it. And then she's like, you know, but I really still feel like I'm supposed to do a gap year program. So let me explore what the other options are. And she went, she started looking around, and we found another gap year program for her. And it ended up being really good for her. But the part that impressed me, the part that I was so proud of, was she didn't let it stop her from doing what she felt like God was calling her to do, right? She didn't let it prevent her from following through. Like, she didn't get discouraged or go into despair. She just kind of, she did grieve it. It was sad. It bummed her out. It hurt her feelings, whatever. You know, it's hard to be rejected, but it didn't stop her from following through. And you know, that kind of resiliency is, it's hard to build in a person, but I feel like it's so important in life. And it's one of those character traits that I so value. That perseverance is so important. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's something that she'll take with her. And, you know, when, cause I'm sure she'll have other, you know, disappointments, but she'll be able to build on that for later on, like learning how to grieve it and yet still go, okay, well, what's next? Like what, you know, I still want to be obedient. I still want to find a way to do this. Maybe there's another one. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's super cool.
Well, you know, like you said, when you're in the thick of the moment, you're like, this is the only thing I want to do.
And that's a good point.
You're just like, right. You know, the whole world crumbles. It's like, how much do you let that crumble in front of you? And I built off that whole perseverance you were saying.
Yeah. Well, and not for nothing. Like, I feel like I'm a decently resilient guy, but sometimes when my plan A doesn't happen, I spin my wheels for a while because I can't figure out what plan B is, but it didn't take her that long to switch gears and go to the next plan, next part of the
plan. Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, sometimes when your intentions don't happen, like resetting your expectations to find the next target is hard, and she just did it.
Oh my gosh, totally, yeah, yeah.
For an individual, for sure, but even like as a dad, you want to step in, especially like, we have daughters, and so Adam, sorry, Paul, not that I, there's
Paul's
nothing in the
obviously offended.
Sure. But as a daughter, if you as a father, at least I feel a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, you want to step in and you want to make sure you can help as, you know, overly help because, you know, there's that like the, you know, I'm your knight in shining armor kind of dad approach. And you're just like, hey, I'm going to come in and sweep the day, but you can't, like, as a dad, they don't get the chance to learn and be, you know, responsible and you know, more mature. And so, you know, it's tough with girls, at least for me. I know for my daughter, it's, you know, things like that, I always feel like, oh, I got to stop. And my wife's like, no, let it happen. Like, I'm like, I don't want to let it happen. I want to be
waiting for her.
Like, yeah, right. We do that for our son all the time. You know, why can't I do that for my daughter?
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
What about you, Adam? Unmute, Adam.
I just like the long pregnant pause.
He likes to make an entrance.
No, I think a proud father moment is just the, I mean, both my girls are pretty outgoing, but the ability that I've seen in them to make sure everybody is included, whether especially around friends or gathering or whatnot, and not to leave people out, is kind of awesome. A nice warm and fuzzy that I get to every time I see it from a distance. So it's I mean, both Heather and I are pretty outgoing people, so to kind of see that trait go down, but not just they like to make sure everybody's included, which is great. So that's one
specific moment that kind of like
either not just one specific moment, but just in general. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but just in general, when they see them hanging around friends and stuff or looking to do stuff, they try to either incorporate things that will include everybody or make sure that if something is happening, that other people are aware of it and are included in whatever the event or activity is as they gather. So
yeah,
that's very cool.
Yeah. And I actually also awesome. See that frequently with your daughters. So that's pretty awesome.
That's a great trait.
It makes it easy for your youth group.
Yeah, right. It is nice to have that in your youth group, right?
Yeah, right.
Kind of lends itself to running on its own almost.
All right, guys, you do this. I'll be back.
Yeah, right. Tell me how it
went. Just don't burn down the castle. Everything's great.
We'll give you room. Just come on over and hang out.
That's right. Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. I got a handful. I'll start with one. The first one that I can remember with Jonathan was we were at like a some kind of fair. I forget what it was, but it was one of the things where they had like a one of those sort of like makeshift buildings, like a fun house where you like run around and stuff. And I might break up a little bit because it just crushed me. So like he went through it and then. There was a little kid went in, and he went in halfway, and he got freaked out, and he stopped, and everybody's yelling at him. And, like, Jonathan looked at me, and he looked at the kid, and he just turned around and walked right to the kid. He's like, it's okay, buddy. Like, he told, like, with no prompting, with no nothing, he helped him through. And I was like, you know, is that, like, you're standing in public, you're at a fair, like, just, like, really, and I'm just, like tears rolling down my eyes. I was, like, so proud of him. I'm like that, because... you know, and even more so, like as he's kind of, you know, grown in stature and physically, that's the kind of thing that like I've seen him like step in and do those things of like, hey, I'm a bigger kid and I want to really, be that kind of discernment, like the, you know, the policeman or the cop who's like, has a really level head kind of thing. So that's the first one that like when you said this, that's the first one that came to mind. And I'm like, I don't know where he learned it. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Like, it's not like we teach him, like, it's not like we taught him that, but like, you know, he just did it. Like, it's not a second thought. It was awesome.
It's that big kid thing. Like, you know, that's why Adam and I being skinny little wimps hung around the Romanax because it's like, you know, they were body protection, but at the same time, you had the comfort and love and, you know, they always wanted to give you a hug.
Right.
And some of that is in a kid or it's not in a kid, right? Some of valor or that that kind of protector attitude, perspective. Mm-hmm. Some of that's in a kid, but you still modeled it by helping other people, right? Yeah. Like, you say that you didn't, but let's be clear. Like, our kids... learn more by watching us than they do by them.
Yeah, right.
Right? That's, and so you may never have walked up to some kid that was getting yelled at in front of a funhouse at a fair and done that, but you've done other things that helped people. And that made him feel like it was okay to go help that kid. Like, that was the expected response.
Yeah.
You know? But it doesn't make it any less of a proud dad moment, right? Like, it's no less of a, oh my goodness, like, my kid... He did the right thing at the right time.
Yeah.
In a place that was not hospitable for that.
Right.
You know, in a not easy place to do it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big of a balloon did he walk away from with the
Well, yeah, dude. No, we walked away and I was like, I don't know. I talked to Liz. I'm like, I don't care what he asked for. I'm gonna buy it for him. Because we're just gonna get it. Like, do you want candy? Do you want that big stuffed animal? Like, he can whatever he wants.
The problem with the stuffed animal is, don't you have to win the game to get the animal?
Oh, yeah. I just have to buy it. There's no way I'm going to win anything. It's just...
He's already won it himself in the...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, dude, those moments are, you know, definitely...
Yep.
I like... One of the things I know when like we were doing our church stuff, they, you know, brings back memories because you kind of dredge them up about the, when my kids were younger, obviously in our youth group, they were, you know, always watching, even though that they were busy doing their own things and getting involved into whatever toddler things they did, or, you know, 2-year-olds or 4-year-olds did. But like when we always did the, you know, the servant evangelism, that type of stuff, all of that stuff just, you know, very much rings true, because it's like you said, Eric, it's an example and you're leading by example. And that example, funny, these stories, and we've had comments about that, like now and they're, you know, 18, 19, 20 year old, and they'll bring that stuff up and it'd be like, where the heck did that come from? And it's like, you know, they'll be like, no, that's what I remember. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, at the moment I wasn't like, you know, I was probably just tripping over my words and, you know, sounding really stupid and, you know, trying to give a flower away or whatever. And, you know, long story short, you know, they saw something more and deeper and, you know, longer. And, you know, that impression obviously shaped and molded, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, you obviously got to benefit as a dad and see, you know, in real life, which is pretty cool, because, you know, how many times do we don't see that in our kids? Right. A lot of times we're like, why can't you get this? Or why can't this, you know, stop picking your nose or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
It's real.
It is real.
Well, kind of along those lines, right? Like the reality is, and so my next one's about Ben, but the reality is with our kids, we as family members frequently don't get the best sides of each other, of our kids, right? Because typically we see the things that they need to grow in. Typically they are not, I don't know about your kids, and maybe it's just my kids, but my kids are not always on their best behavior when we're in the house.
Yeah, right? 100%.
Like, you know, everybody's let their hair down. We're all probably a little more reactive than we should, than we would be in public, you know, all of that stuff, right? And so for me, like my proud dad moment for Ben was actually his Eagle Scout ceremony.
Yeah.
And it was actually like Eagle Scout alone would be enough to be proud of, but the roast, the roast time where people basically came up and shared stories about Ben was what actually made me proud. 'Cause it was all about Ben's ability to both lead and still be fun while leading. It was all about his ability to include all of the scouts, not just the scouts that were his own age, not just the scouts that were his friends, but draw them all in. And it was really funny because the people that brought the stories ranged from the leaders in the troop to people that he had come through all of Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts with, to kids who had only known him for a year, only known him at the tail end of their of his scouting journey. And they all said cool things. And it was really funny because I went on this canoe trip this weekend with the troop.
You didn't bring Water Jesus with you?
He's in Wisconsin, so no. And it was really funny because I had like so many people, like there were 22 people on this canoe trip. Probably half of them said, I really wish Ben was here because he just makes everything so much fun.
Oh, wow.
You know,
Water Jesus.
Well, that's a lot of pressure.
This is not being called Ben
Joel now.
So that's a lot for Isaiah to step into.
I'm sorry, Isaiah, right? Yeah.
But it's, you know, but it is a proud moment because, like, so often that's not where I see him, right? I don't see him all of the time in those circumstances. I see glimpses of that. But it was just awesome to hear everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like I said, as a very subjective person, I'm pretty proud of who Ben is, but most of mine is anecdotal or, you know, a different perspective. So hearing other people talk about it was pretty awesome.
Well, put it this way. I never understood that story part in the Bible where, you know, they talk about Jesus going back to his hometown and everyone's like, he's not the Messiah. And, you know, he's a little boy and, you know, that whole ordeal, not in those terms exactly, specifically Monty Python spin, but, you know, that never really made any sense to me growing up, you know, because I was like, dude, you know, you always get ridiculed, but like, dude, that's because they knew him when he was a little boy and all of the, you know, mischief he did when he ran off to the temple and got lost and all the, you know, all of that ordeal that they just never could, you know, see him as beyond that. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, us as a parent, you know, I do that as my dad, as being a dad. And I'm sure my dad did it to me when, you know, I was growing up, and I'm sure he did it to Adam too as well. And, you know, so it's a lot of those things, you just, because you're such in the weeds all the time that, You want them to be better. You want them to be, you know, that much, you know, better than what your circumstances were, or your faults or your shortcomings, or, you know, whatever. So it's always an interesting, you know, kind of viewpoint if you can step away from it and, you know, take a breath and see it.
Yeah. And like you said, like, it's really easy to not ever celebrate the successes that they have because you always see the places where they could improve.
Yeah.
As much as that sucks, it's real, right? Like, as a parent, yeah. Especially because so frequently our kids are so much like us that we see both the pot. We often focus on the negative side of that, right? Not the positive side of that.
It's a mirror. It's a mirror. Yeah.
You know, and that aggravates us because we're like, I know they could do that better because I know how badly I do it.
Yeah, exactly. Damn me. Why do I want it in front of me?
Yes. Yeah.
Learn totally. From my mistakes, kids, so you don't have to make them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's funny. My daughter is very much like, so I've shared before, my son is very much like my wife and personality wise and a lot of, you know, caring, loving, you know, kind of approach traits and stuff like that, where he's more about the team than he is about like his, you know, self, like, how can I be better? And I'm always about like, you know, hey, getting in the limelight, getting ahead, doing, you know, because that's just my personality. So my daughter's a lot like that. So when I do see those moments shine through, I'm just like, totally like, yay, dad, sitting on the bench. And I'll, you know, it's almost kind of fun to see because I remember growing, coaching, and I was coaching a softball team that she was on. And she's usually, you know, kind of one of those people that will, you know, step in and help wherever she needs to help. And I always can depend on that because I know she's always just going to see a need and fill it a lot of times where that stuff happens. And that's a lot like who I am. So I can, it's almost like an asset and a strength that I can say, oh yeah, she's just going to jump right in. I don't have to tell her. I don't have to do a second thing, but it's more awesome when I can step back and she can step into the leadership role and be a leader in whatever that is, whether it's in, you know, the environment of a team or in the environment of a workplace. She's like come back with several stories. Like, she amazes me. One thing that totally amazed me, like 2 years ago before she went to college, she had a gap year and she worked her hiney off, and she had like, she literally, when I was her age, I had one job and I struggled to keep one job. She was doing two jobs. And like bouncing, you know, her friendships and relationships and driving, you know, everywhere and anywhere. I mean, she was like on like the level 99 plus and, you know, going on, you know, just, you know, doing everything and doing everything successfully. And, you know, her employers are like totally amazed by her and giving her more opportunities and making her moving into manager roles, you know, and that type of stuff. And I was like, totally like sitting back, proud dad moment going, this is awesome. You know, finally one of my kids get it. And it's like, things are, you know, really great and stuff. And then, you know, it was, you know, because we had a long conversation about college and what that looks like, because she's a lot like me, I said, and she doesn't have the acumen to stay in college and go that route because, you know, she's just a very good life, you know, hard knocks lesson learner. So she can, you know, get into a situation, learn from it, and then grow and get better and whatnot. And, you know, if she falls down, she just, you know, kind of dusts herself off and moves on and, you know, recognizes, you know, what her strengths are and plays on them very well. So when the college conversation came about where she wanted to go back because all of her friends were doing college and she thought she was missing out, it kind of brought the moment of, you know, oh, I remember that as a kid. And I was 18 and all of my friends in our youth group are all going to college at some form or fashion. And I thought I was missing out because, you know, they were all staying in college and experiencing college. And, you know, so I couldn't quite make it because my grades sucked in high school because I never was a great student. And so I had to do community college and failed at it miserably. And so I warned against her saying, you know, hey, don't, you know, if you don't feel like you're strong in school, then, you know, maybe you're geared to a career in something else. So that conversation kind of all, but she was very adamant. She was very, you know, she kind of came to me like similar in the same situation when the kids wanted a dog, they presented me with the PowerPoint presentation. Well, she came to me with a, no joke, I still have the PowerPoint presentation on how they were going to take care of the dog. And I wish I could bring it up when they forget that they have a dog now and they're 21. Yeah. But, yeah, the dog's become attached to me now. So the dog doesn't really look to me any longer.
Yes.
And Paul knows that very well. So the all the moments. So she goes, she laid out the whole, you know, plan of how she's going to go to college. And, you know, I was very like, okay, it sounds like you've got everything together. I'm pretty confident that you can do it. And my wife's like, you know, obviously nervous for her and all of this. She barreled right into school, got, you know, plugged in, got all of, you know, she hit a huge speed bump because one of the big speed bumps, like similar to Gracie's speed bump, where she thought she was going to get into a dorm room with one of her friends that she had in high school, that all fell apart very quickly. So now all of a sudden she's being bunked with a total stranger, has no idea who it is a week before she has to move in. And, you know, she handled all of that, made great friends, you know, even weathered some of the poor roommate, you know, issues with, you know, not communicating. Like her roommate was literally not talking to her at all for like 6 months, just would say one word like hi. And that's about the extent of it. And they shared a room, you know, for 5 days a week. But she, you know, persevered and was strong. And all through that, I was just like, oh, wow, this is like awesome, because it was like a proud dad moment. Because it's like, okay, all those conversations and all those hikes that we had in the woods and talked about like all the things you wanted to be, you know, where you wanted to go in life, kind of all, you know, materialized and culminated into this, you know, moment for school. And, you know, she had a great experience, but, you know, she, you know, handled it well. And, but we all, you know at the very end of it, because I was not a great student, she was not a great student in, you know, high school, that, you know, after, you know, a year of college, she's like, yeah, dad, I'm done. I'm like, okay, well, now you're going to have to deal with the college, you know, some of your college debt that you have, and, you know, weather all that storm from that lesson. And she's like, okay, fine. You know, so once again, another proud dad moment. It's like, okay, she's like not going to, you know, collapse and not going to be like, oh my gosh, all the pressure of money. It's like, yeah, I made this mistake. I learned, you know, from it. And so that, those proud moments of like, hey, I'm learning to make mistakes and I'm learning how to recover is, you know, a good, you know, good thing for me to feel, you know, confident that like, hey, you know, she's growing and learning and becoming a responsible, you know, woman.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Actually, I love that because it's like a whole series of proud dad moments in one year,
literally.
It's almost like a single progression, but you get to see like a bunch of different capabilities and things that they've grown in all come to fruition in the same process.
Yeah. My son spaces it out by a couple of years. My daughter just crams it all into 1 year. And then, you know, gives me a year off and says, you know, I'll come back again and, you know, we'll do that all over. We'll do something different. So
that's an intensity of life kind of thing. That's a personality style thing, right? Which
I'm sure my wife is not like happy with it. Like level consistent, little bumps here and there. My daughter's like roller coaster, big hill down, big up, up, you know.
She just wants to be like her uncle.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. She's referring to you, Adam. Not Uncle Dennis.
Cool.
Anyway. No other stories? Eric and I.
I've definitely got some, but Paul, I know you said you had a couple of them lined up.
A plethora.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the other, and so there's really two other that came to mind. One was similar to that other, that first one I shared, where we're at Hampton Beach and like we got split up somehow. And he was with my younger niece and like something happened to Hampton. Like all of a sudden it was like cops were there and like things just like at Hampton Beach, things can go from like, hey, everybody's having a fun time to like chaotic and crazy. And like people, you know, want to see. And I just remember like realizing two things when that happened, like all of a sudden there were cops and there was craziness. And I remember thinking, because he was out with my younger niece for some reason. I remember thinking, oh no, Riley's alone. Oh no, wait a minute, she's with Jonathan. And that second moment is like, she's good.
Where's Jonathan?
Something happened where we split up and like they were on their way back to the apartment or the hotel or whatever, and like we were on our way back too, but like something happened where like all of a sudden something went down like in the middle in between. And it just, and so this is when he's like 15, so it's not like we sent like an 11-year-old and a 3-year-old out, but like I remember thinking like he's so good under pressure. Like he's so much better than I am. He just keeps his head really well. And I just remember thinking, I'd almost rather he be my niece be with him than like maybe even me or my sister who like might have been impacted. Like I think he just you know, he kind of keeps a level head. But and then the other one, and I'll just tag it, and then you guys can talk about your other y'all that have these large groups of kids. But my last one is when I found out that he was going to be captain of the football team. I don't know that there's anything else like that. Is the first ballot Hall of Fame fatherhood moment up to now. And again, just like you're saying, Fife, like it's not about him and what he did on the field. It's his character. And like, that's why they voted him, captain. Right. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do too with like, again, it takes a village. Like it, obviously it's, you know, I was never anything in football. So like he gets nothing there, but like the other linemen that he worked with, like they really took him under his wing, and under their wing. And it's just really cool to see, to see him. And, some of y'all know about what, some of his diet issues, where he was diagnosed with celiac. So he lost a lot of weight, and he was really worried about, because he used to be kind of a bigger kid, and like he wanted to go in the weight room and like show everybody up. And I'm like, dude, like they didn't vote you captain because of how much you could bench or like what you do on the field. Like it's off the field. It's you're a leader. Like that's why. And so, and because that's true, like that's why I'm super proud, is because he is, whenever he's on the field, it's like, you know, very similar to like Adam, what you're saying with Isabel and Drew, like he's very much a, hey, let's kind of get all in here and let's, you know, we may all be playing different positions, but let's all kind of do this together and just kind of be in that leader on the field. So that's, yeah, that's the, that was definitely the, probably one of the coolest moments there. So yeah, it was cool.
Sounds like a thread that'll be like kind of consistent throughout most of his life, which is a really good thing to see, you know, especially where that's going to pop out.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
dream lives to God's ears.
But, true. But the funny thing is like, I can speak from a leadership perspective because I'm, you know, a lot of times I just naturally go into those moments, and if he doesn't like push back and say no, I'm not cut out for that, and just he just kind of just rolls into it, that's just gonna be a natural ability all the time in his life. So whether it's a high stressful situation or a situation that, you know, he just, you know, walks into, you know, you find that, you know, you'd be like, oh my gosh, totally amazed, and be like, you'd be like, yeah, no big deal, Dad. You know, right, which would be his response. But you know, he'll just know how to do it because it's natural.
I think so often, and this is something I run into with a lot of people, leadership opportunities are missed because people disqualify themselves from taking them.
Amen. Yeah.
So much more often than they are actually disqualified. They say, I don't know how to do that, so I'm not even going to try. Yeah. Right? And so often the people that I see that grow in leadership are people that are willing to look at it and say, okay, I don't know all of it, but I'll give it a shot. I'll take a try. Yeah. I'll take a shot at it. I'll try it out. And so, you know, in Jonathan's case, it sounds like he's doing that. Like he's not shying away from the opportunity because he's not an expert. Mm-hmm. You know, he's taking the opportunities and he's executing on it with the character that you guys have taught him, with the character that he's developed over his life.
Yeah. Yeah. That character is critical.
How you get there.
That character is definitely critical because that's something that just can't be taught. But the idea of being in a leadership role, and speaking for myself, is like when I go into a leadership role, my first and foremost thought is like, who can I bring in with me? Who can you're saying, it's like, who can I grab next to be able to bring their strength in and let them be whatever they need to be in that moment for me to be able to further whatever we're trying to move further on. And, you know, if he's got that skill is just going to be shaping his life for the rest of his future, because it's just a natural, like, I see a need and fill it, but more so I see a person's with the strength and a need to let them come in and fill that moment and, you know, build whatever we're trying to build or, you know, move forward. So yeah, it's really good strength to definitely have. And if you're seeing that, you know, you're definitely blessed for that one for sure.
Yeah. It's also showing it in the times when you're not in the limelight or out in the public or when you're at home and whatnot, and making sure that those leadership skills and that character traits shine forth to be examples in areas of like not just putting up a front. So,
yep, that's not what you know. It's what we know. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I'm going to use half the bottle.
Yo, Joe.
I think another one would be just the most recent, just and some of it's maturity, but just the it's always nice to see that teaching and being able to kind of drill in good morals into our children pays off. And like one of the things I was just gonna bring up is the thing that Heather's doing with Drew this summer is the operations of service for her to maybe go out and help others. And so she's been
slave labor.
Slave labor without pay, but it's
which is
been,
the definition of slave.
Which is exactly. Yeah.
Which has been great for her. So, cause she's gone out and she helped someone completely. I taught her how to weed whack and she went and weed whacked someone's lawn and mowed their lawn. And she's been helping other friends with stuff around the house and helping with kids. And so she's got some weekly scheduled time with some of Heather's friends on a regular basis that she goes out for the day and helps them with just things around the house and just becomes a lending hand. So it's been pretty good.
Yeah, any one moment that just kind of stood out for you more than, you know, just the general?
Just an attitude. Her overall attitude has changed, so it's been good.
Is it better for you guys at home now that she's kind of like, you know, getting to experience the real world? And
no, we haven't had to lock her in the closet as much, so it's good.
It's coming.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Yeah,
as much, not as much.
I know, right? Exactly. We have to clarify.
I have to clarify so that I don't get in trouble.
That's not going to get you in trouble already. All right, Ark, you have two more kids.
I do. So I always there's always great things to chat about. So I was thinking about Isaiah, and actually this story is fairly recent. So Isaiah recently, my kids started doing rock climbing at the local Vertical Dreams in Nashua.
Oh, cool.
They joined a club. And so every Wednesday they go down there for in the afternoon and they get to climb for like 2 or 3 hours. And so, you know, Isaiah, of all of my children, Isaiah is the most risk averse. So the first day he went down, he's like, I don't even want to climb. But he started climbing and now he can get, you know, like halfway up the wall without wanting to get back down,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is a big deal for him because he's the guy that doesn't even ride a bike because it goes too fast. Mm. Right. Like, but the part that, so that's like the backdrop. The part that really was was a proud dad moment. And I wasn't even here for it. I just heard the story after the fact was, he was there with, they actually go with this homeschooling group to this rock climbing gym. And one of the girls there is terrified, but still does it. And it was so, at one point, Isaiah had been done for the day. He was just about to change out of his clothes. And the girl that was there with them was just kind of freaking out. And he just walked up to her and he's like, okay, so let's just do this together. And he just climbed up. He got up on the wall and he basically just took, you know, mount point. It's not mount point. What are they called? Grip by grip. Basically, he just went with her step by step up the wall. And just was calm and easygoing and kept her calm and easygoing and just kind of like went alongside her as opposed to just letting her freak out by herself. He was like, he was the calm in the storm for her. And that's just so impressive to me because it's like, you know, kind of like what you were saying, Paul, like, I don't know that I taught him that, you know, but it's awesome to see him in his own character, in his own way, put himself out of his comfort zone, do something he doesn't necessarily love doing in a way that helps somebody else deal with their personal crisis and get over it and move along. Right. And I just love seeing that stuff when my kids do that, it's so good.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Now, is he really starting to enjoy it more now that he's, you know, kind of going week to week?
And yeah, I mean, he's still taking. So this is the difference between my kids, right? he is still taking the easiest route straight up with the easiest grips.
No.
Joel, fine. On the other hand, is looking for anything that makes him invert himself. Right? Yeah. How do I hang upside down? How do I crawl with totally. My hands? Like,
he hasn't totally. Done free climbing yet.
Yeah, right. They're just different kids, right? But yeah, I mean, he's getting there. Just don't
put him on the rope and right. on the wall.
Well, and Heather jokes because she's like, what Joel doesn't realize is that if he lets go, he's going to fall a few feet because I can't keep up with him from a play point of view.
Yeah, that's funny.
But, I've
seen that before.
But it's pretty awesome. Yeah, he's liking it better. They aren't going tomorrow, but they pretty much gone every week for the last month.
That's awesome. So,
nice.
Yeah, and they have the membership for the summer, so they'll be going all summer. So it should be good.
Yeah, that's one thing I loved a lot when I did in my 20s was rock climbing. I spent a lot of time being a gym rat.
Yeah, I never did rock climbing much, but it's something that I think would be a lot of fun. I can't afford another expensive hobby right now because I've got a guitar and jiu-jitsu. So I've got to hold off and like pace myself a little bit, but maybe I'll get back to it because I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you could do guitar, jiu-jitsu, rock climbing all at once. Yeah.
Got to start those gigs.
All right.
All right.
Out there make some money.
Nobody's paying you right. to play guitar, dude. I promise. They might.
I bet you if you go out there, someone will pay you something.
Just go into a very crowded place, start playing music, and say, pay me, and I'll leave. And see how much you make.
And see if the pitchforks and torches show up.
That's right. It's true. It's going to be hard in a city area to pick one of those.
And then for Joel, like, that kid cracks me up every day. But the thing that I was, like, one of my proudest dad moments recently was, so we moved into this house about 4.5 years ago. And in our old neighborhood, there just weren't a lot of kids our kids' age. And because of the road we lived on, the kids didn't really hang out with each other. In this neighborhood, it's a little different. And what I loved about Joel is he was like quintessential Romanek when we got here. Within like 2 months of getting here, he knew everybody on the street.
Wow.
Like did he put it in his black book?
He didn't have a black book. He kept it in his head.
Oh, then he's a 2.0 version now.
He's the 2.0 version. He's the upgrade. He's
got backup RAM.
And he's just continuously he's always out there like, making new friends, getting to know the people in the neighborhood, building new connections with people. And he just has a ton of fun, but he's also like, he doesn't just know them, but he's compassionate towards them. Like he doesn't get sucked into the drama the way that some kids do, you know, kind of along the lines of what you were saying about your girls, Adam, like he is friends with the kids that everybody else is like, yeah, I don't really want to be friends with them. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't not be friends with somebody because his other friends don't like them.
Not popular.
Right?
Yeah.
He's always reaching out to the whole gamut of people, not just the people that are popular or powerful or have the swimming pool or whatever. Like he's just like, yeah, I'm there. I want to know you. I want to be friends with you. I want to connect with you. I want to have you over for ice pops and water balloon fights and whatever. Like, and it's pretty awesome.
I just throw mattresses over my parents' second floor railing and jump off the railing and
break the big. You'll notice I did not buy a house with a catwalk.
I noticed that.
Bummer.
I'm pretty sure if we jump now, Adam, we'd break something.
Yeah, ourselves.
I don't want to think about that.
Like on the way down before you even hit anything.
I know. Right? As you miss the distance of the jumping over the railing, you side hip check yourself and break a hip.
Any other proud dad moments tonight, boys?
Yeah, there's plenty of them, but I think, you know, I touched upon a lot of the stuff already because a lot of their, I think we all touched upon it. It's a lot more. I think our proud dad moments were less about, you know, a moment or an action. It was more about character, I think, which is, you know, kind of, kind of speaks a lot for, you know, us as dads, you know, it's kind of funny because like I was sharing earlier recording that, my 21-year-old is struggling to try to figure out who he is and whatnot. So, you know, the proud dad moments episode was like kind of secondary in my mind because I was feeling like a not so proud dad moment. But, you know, after, you know, sharing some of the stories, I know, you know, it's only a speed bump in the road and we'll all go through that as dads and, you know, wish our kids, always don't have to go through pain. But we all know that, you know, that's part of the course of life. And learning and growing to be whatever they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And And let me say too, you know, I think to a man here, I've, it's fun to see other kids' proud dad moments, you know, like when, you know, Romanek, when you came over and when Ben like basically packed the cube and then like unpacked the cube, like it just, you know, and that's to, you know, seeing, you know, Cody and Emma, you know, at the whitewater rafting, and of course, you know, seeing Isabel and Drew, it's just, it's fun to see. It's been one of the most rewarding things here. So like not just doing community for us, but like doing community. And now that the fact that, some of that's, moved on to our kids too, has been just like more rewarding than I even know was out there. So it's been fun to like, you know, kind of, you know, dad alongside y'all.
Y'all. Yeah,
definitely true.
Sure, man. Definitely. It's been a fun ride. And it's not over yet.
No, I mean, we all, well,
it doesn't stop
Eric
at 18.
Doesn't have any kids, he only has adults, but we still get to watch them grow up. And
they're still kids in my mind. They'll always be your kids, but you know, they could be 23 or 33. It doesn't really matter.
Right. Send your request to feedback
or on the Discord feedback, whatever your preference is.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I do want to just say, you know, Paul kind of hit on this, but you know, as a parent, I think sometimes it's really hard. It can sometimes be hard to see the positives. But I just want to encourage you guys, like, as you're listening to this podcast, every once in a while, stop and take an inventory of where they've come from, where your kids have gotten to. Because I think it's easy to focus on where they haven't gotten to. And so, you know, it's important to celebrate those victories because those are the things that keep us going. And we've talked about this before, but parenting is a long game. Like there is, you know, the things you're doing now, you may not see the fruit of for a decade. So don't lose hope because you're not seeing it now. Like, and don't lose hope because it's not as visible as you want it to be. But look for those little glimpses of things that your kids are doing now that are awesome, that are great, that are just that nudge better than they were yesterday. Because those are the things that keep you going and keep you from getting discouraged. So,
yep.
And like these guys said, if you guys want to get on our Discord channel, we'd love to chat with you. It's some fun conversation about the shows as you're going along. We just released one today. The link for our Discord will be on the
show notes.
The show notes that we send out with the shows when they get downloaded. You can also always reach us at feedback@forefatherspodcast.com via email. But Discord's the faster way to get there. So we look forward to hearing from you. We'd love to hear your ideas for shows. We'd love to get your feedback on proud dad moments or proud mom moments, if moms are listening to this as well, for you. Because I think that that's part of the thing that we really want to see is, like, you know, it's fun to talk about us, but we really want to know more about you. So
yeah,
please feel free to give us feedback. Go ahead, Fife.
Yeah, let's share what you have, because we don't have a corner of the market. We're learning too. So, you know, we'd love to be able to be encouraged by what you guys got.
Yeah. So again, thank you guys so much. We appreciate you spending time with us on this show. And we look forward to hearing from you on our Discord channel or via email. Thanks a lot so much. Have a great
day. And thanks for listening to the Forefathers Podcast, where we talk about faith, fatherhood, and other F words. If you want to learn more, head over to our website at the4fatherspodcast.com. If you'd like to help our show, make sure you give us a review on iTunes or in the podcast app of your choice. Those reviews help others find our show. And if you have any other questions or comments, you can send those to feedback@forefatherspodcast.com.